What is America going to do about greenhouse gases? The biggest corporations, the Wall Street promoters, and investment banks see new profit opportunities in climate change. Just let capitalism make lots of money, they say, and greenhouse gas emissions will come down. Well, wouldn't it be nice to get some insider information from someone well connected to the trading desks and the Wall Street chatter? We have just such a guest today. We'll call him Climateer, since he posts streams of hot info in his well-read blog, Climateer Investing. I've followed this blog daily, finding tips on everything from solar tech to Warren Buffett's complete absence from the climate debate. Welcome to Radio EcoShock, sir.
Alex, it's a pleasure to be with you. And for your guests, I want to explain quickly that I post anonymously because some of my thoughts on where the entire debate is going from the financial side is at odds with those that are, let's say, pushing the debate. I wanted to also thank you. When you did your interview with Planktos' CEO, Rusty George, I was very impressed. And since then, I believe that was the fall of last year, I look forward to being on your show. So again, thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here, and I know your time is valuable, so I'm going to ask you just a few questions and then basically shut up and listen and learn. And I'm going to start off with the big one, climate change. Everyone expects America to develop a carbon plan. What is Wall Street pushing as the solution?
Okay, if I could turn this on its head. When you emailed me earlier in the week, you said you were going to lead with Wall Street, then financing and maybe individual companies, I'd like to start with the macro picture and work down rather than working up. And the reason for that is with what's going on in the U.S. economy and with what's going on Wall Street, it is shaping the entire debate. As a quick example, in California, there's a budget hole of $16 billion. This is handcuffing Governor Schwarzenegger and the legislature in what they can do. The city of Berkeley has an extremely innovative idea for funding solar panels on individual houses. They want to do it by way of a property tax rebate. But with the collapse of the property market, the property tax revenues are not there to fund this. So there's a gigantic interplay. And in fact, going back to Ecology 101, everything is connected. And it's so true in the finance business that if you take a macro view of what's going on in the economy, you can come down to what's doable in the financial end of this stuff. So with Wall Street in considerable turmoil, the fifth largest bank, Bear Stearns, looking like it's going to have to be sold because they're broke, it really has thrown some, let's say, goodness, I don't want to be too harsh about this, but it's brought a lot of the funding to a standstill. The build-out that the U.S. will have is on the order of trillions of dollars. In fact, the estimate worldwide over the next 20 years for energy build-out is $20 trillion. So the problems that we're seeing now are casting a bit of a cloud over it. But, and this is extremely important, it also offers the lifeline to rejuvenate the entire North American economy. You guys in Canada have a very interesting set of advantages over the rest of the world because you are one of the largest producers of natural gas, which definitely will be a transition fuel as we figure out what we're going to do 5 and 10 years out. The base that Canada has can really lead America, and it's kind of odd to say that. Another example in how Canada can lead, you seem to have some forward thinking. The Kyoto Protocol that Canada signed is, in my opinion, a joke. The actual reductions that it would bring are minuscule. I think it was estimated at 0.1 degree Celsius. But it showed that Canada was looking to go forward. Now, if Canada can take that same spirit, and I've got to say, I don't know whether your audience leans left, right, or center. I am apolitical in this. The only reason I'm interested in the politics is to see where the money is going to go. So with that overview, what would happen if Ottawa was to send $1 billion to McGill and say, boys, let's come up with, and girls, let's come up with the best battery in the world? It is so theoretically possible that the stuff that I'm looking at right now, solar panels, whatever, are going to be obsolete in 2 years. The technology, especially in solar, is evolving so quickly. I'm going to jump around here a little bit, but I want to make a couple of points, Alex, if that's okay.
You bet.
Okay, first off, we have the framework that we're working under, the Kyoto Protocol. Canada signed it under a Liberal government and did nothing. Under the Conservative government, they've done nothing. It's really kind of silly. And they're bound by these agreements that if they don't meet them, they'll have to go out into the international carbon markets and spend $6 billion a year. And I never understood why in the heck you should send $6 billion to China or to Russia or to India, rather than taking that $6 billion and plowing it in to developing the technologies on your home soil. The U.S. is not a party to Kyoto. It's not been ratified anyway. It was signed. So we don't have that thought of sending money abroad. However, the leading bill in the U.S. Congress, the Lieberman-Warner bill, specifically says no money shall be used for what's called the Clean Development Mechanism, CDM, offshore buying carbon offsets. But the carbon traders are pushing right now that it's the way to go. So the money starts at the very top with the framework, with the protocol. In fact, if you look into the history of it, Enron, and so many of these roads lead to Enron, pushed the U.S. negotiators for cap and trade. They're interested in the trade side of it. They didn't care about the cap so much. And got the U.S. negotiators to agree to the Clean Development Mechanism and other things just to get that in. And the politics of Kyoto are really fascinating. If you look at the European angle, where they absolutely wanted to set 1990 as the base year. And that was because the British, under Margaret Thatcher, had developed their gas fields and had what was called the Dash for Gas. Enron built the first and largest in the world natural gas cogeneration facility at Teesside, England. Enron keeps popping up. It's so odd when you really get into this.
And you suggested, though, that the trading of emissions could, almost like the Enron situation, develop into a new derivatives bubble, a new replacement for the bubble that's collapsing now.
You saw that on the weblog. It's absolutely true. And one concern is that because it would have to pull the U.S. economy out, this next bubble would have to be larger. And although the Federal Reserve here, it seems to be able to contain the problem, although they're behind the curve in quite a few ways, it appears that they're going to be able to do it. The next bubble will have to be larger than the bubble that we just came out of, the housing bubble, which in turn had to be bigger than the technology bubble of 99 and 2000. So I was just talking to a friend about this. We have to keep digging the hole deeper to keep ourselves from being buried under the landslide. But going back the Kyoto Protocol, the Europeans had to have 1990 because the British were bringing the gas on stream. In 92, this gigantic Teesside electric cogen plant came on. With the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Germans knew that they were going to be shutting down all of East Berlin's manufacturing. It was so antiquated and inefficient. So they knew that they'd be getting a natural boost from that. So the U.S. negotiators agreed to that because Europe agreed to cap and trade. Moving forward here real quickly, Enron ended up selling after the bankruptcy in 2002. Enron Credit Recovery Corp, Credit Recovery, sold to General Electric their entire wind operation, which immediately made General Electric the biggest wind generation company in North America, and second only to Vestas as the biggest in the world. The third major player is Suzlon in India. It's so fascinating to me that so many of these ideas came by way of Enron, that the guys were really forward-thinking. If they hadn't been flat-out crooks, they could have owned it. Another Enron connection, they were number seven largest company in the U.S. when the bankruptcy was filed, gigantic in natural gas. General Electric just last year spent $600 million to get into the natural gas business. And this ties back to Canada and the advantages you guys have. In Canada, I believe it's the largest by revenue company in Canada, and it's like second or third in market value. 80% of their revenues are natural gas. And I know there's huge arguments going on over the oil sands, and they have big interest in the oil sands. But just that natural gas, it is the bridge fuel for so many things, especially the electric generation.
Well, you know, you've talked about Enron, and we have a transcript from a meeting of the Progressive Policy Institute, March 3rd, 2000, and their representative, John Palmisano, he says, quote, "With these programs, we are creating property rights and we are creating money, and that's a fact. And a windfall financial gain from emission credits that has never been on company books." So this whole idea of giving the polluters free, I guess, their pollution permits, doesn't that open up a multi-billion dollar market?
That is a profound question, because that was exactly Enron's thinking. They were not green. They did not care about green, except in the color of U.S. greenbacks at that time. It's estimated, there were two estimates that came out late February. By 2015, the U.S. carbon market will be $600 billion. If you assume a 10 to 15% slippage for fees, for bid-ask spreads, for commissions, for bribes, and there will be bribes, yet you're looking at potentially $60 to $90 billion that will go to the banks and the traders. Another estimate was that by 2020, it would be a $1 trillion market. And again, apply that 10 to 15%. You've got an idea of why the banks and the carbon traders, I'm thinking of them as the carbon cartel, actually, are pushing this so hard, and why, again, going all the way back to the Kyoto negotiations, Enron knew that this was going to be huge. So your point about Mr. Palmisano is right on the money, and it is so insightful to look at what their thinking is. I just want to make one quick point. I had a post on the delegates to the Bali conference that was held earlier this year, and you may have seen it. Fully 7% of all the NGO representatives were from the International Emissions Trading Association. 436 carbon traders, attorneys, their consultants, and it was actually the largest contingent of any single NGO at the Bali conference. That's how serious these guys are about this. And to refer back to your point about basically giving away the allocation, if under a cap and trade regime there's no auction, you are creating money. You are basically out of thin air creating money, and B, you're giving it to the people who are causing the problem in the first place, the emitters, which on its face just seems bizarre. That there are some economic arguments, and a couple of the big lobby groups, one is called CERES, C-E-R-E-S, the other is the U.S., I'll call it U.S. CAP if your listeners want to Google it. They are pushing for the free allocation, and they make some arguments. But, Alex, I tell you, I've been following this stuff since 1992 with the Rio Summit put on by Canada's own Maurice Strong. Some people are calling him Chairman Moe. If I can digress one second, I just saw something in China Daily. Mr. Strong is still alive and kicking, actually. He came out and said, this is 313.07, climate change is a security and foreign relations issue. And his influence in the entire shape of what's going on, when he put on the Rio Summit, there was a young U.S. senator named Al Gore. This is just before he won election as vice president.
I was in Rio at the summit, incidentally.
Oh, is that right? Okay, you should actually be telling me, because it was after the summit that I started thinking, say, this is going to have financial implications. Now, it's taken a lot longer to play out, and it's taken a lot more political, horse trading. But it is here now. Some of the smartest consultants in the world are saying whether you're green or not, you have to act green. Now, that kind of phoniness is a little bit repugnant, but it is the reality going forward here over the next 4 or 5 years. So starting with the macro view that right now the U.S. economy is having some of its biggest shocks that it's had since the 30s, the reality going forward is that the change from the fossil fuel economy that we've had for the last 120-odd years can be the engine that pulls us out. And the U.S. has a history of this. The engine in the 1830s and 40s was the canals. In the 1850s, 60s, and 70s, it was the railroads. In 1910, 1920, it was radio and the automobile. In the entire consumer industry grew up after World War II. Then we had the electronics and the Internet, and this is going to be the next great wave. John Doerr of Kleiner Perkins, the firm that Mr. Gore just joined, says it is the biggest opportunity that we will ever have.
Well, on that unusual note of optimism in a rather bleak situation on Wall Street, I'd like to end it there for today. We have been speaking with the proprietor of an insider blog called Climateer Investing. You can find it at climateerinvest.blogspot.com. That's Climateer with two E's, invest.blogspot.com. It's on my short list of blogs to check daily and full of provocative insight. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off today?
No, Alex, just thanks for the opportunity to get some of this out. It's I'm at a loss, though, because there are so many points that we haven't gotten to. We didn't look at individual companies or anything, but maybe another time.
Oh, we've got to get back together again and have another chat. I know we're going to have you back on the show, so thanks again.
Okay, thank you. Bye now.
This is Alex Smith reporting for Radio EcoShock.